Hello, my name is Nat Dixon. I am 15 years old. Today is November 23rd, 2018, and I'm speaking with my dad, Mark. We are recording in Barrington, Illinois. So, Dad, where did you grow up in? Or if there's just list kind of the places you can think of.
So, depends what you mean by grow up. So if you're saying like between, you know, when I was born and when I went to college, I spent, so my parents grew up in the Chicago area, but then they moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma before I was born. And so I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I lived there until I was around 9 years old. And then we started to move around a lot after that. So we moved from Tulsa back to the Chicago area. So lived in Palatine for 2 to 2.5 years. And then we moved to Stavanger, Norway, which was, I guess, my sixth grade. And we lived there for 2.5 years. And then we moved to London, England. And we lived there until my senior year of high school. And the senior year of high school, moved back to Chicago area and moved to Lake Forest. And then lived there for a year, obviously, then graduated and went to college.
Was it ever, like, hard for you moving all these different places and having to change schools so often?
The first time, yes. I shouldn't say the first time. It's probably the first and the second time because we were young and didn't know anything else. When I say we, I'm talking about my sister and I. So when we were moving from Tulsa to Chicago, I remember that being tough just because didn't know any better. I had only lived in Tulsa, and I had friends there, and so the thought of having to move to a strange place and make new friends was pretty daunting. So that was tough. But we knew when we were moving that we'd be moving every few years because of my dad's new job. So it wasn't necessarily a surprise when we found out a few years later we were moving to Norway, but it was a bit of a shock because I had no idea where Norway even was. So my dad went and grabbed the globe and spun it around and put his finger on Norway and says, "That's where we're going." So it wasn't as tough as the move to when I was moved from Tulsa to Chicago, because we had already known and had in our minds that we were going to be moving. We just didn't know where. So the Norway move is just tougher because didn't have any idea what to expect in getting there. But from then on, then after, it was actually relatively smooth.
Do you still have friends that you still speak with that were from Tulsa or Norway?
So, yes, yeah. Beauty of social media. Actually, probably was out of touch with most of them until 15, 20 years ago when social media picked up and then reached back out and got back in touch with a lot of them. So, yeah, I am in regular touch with people that I went to school with in Norway and England and Lake Forest and then college and every point of life after that. From the first 9 years of my life in Tulsa, trying to think, you know, I'm in touch with family friends through my mom and dad, because obviously they kept in touch with their friends, and their friends had kids that we used to hang out with. So through them, we stay in touch, but not necessarily directly with my own friends that I had in kindergarten, first, second grade. I had reached out to some of them because I did go back to Tulsa for university for a couple of years and reached back out to them when I went back then and reconnected, but really not much since then.
Right. What was Poppy's job? Like, what was it that caused you guys to have to move?
Yeah, he's a petroleum engineer, civil engineer by education, but was hired on to work for a petroleum engineering company. It's an oil company. His first job in Oklahoma was research and development. So he did research on exploring engineering, new ways to find, drill, and get oil in the Gulf of Mexico. And as a result of that R&D experience he had, he eventually joined a team, an international organization that went to new areas when they were breaking into new oil fields and building building up those oil fields for exploration and for getting the oil out of the ground. So that's basically what he did his whole career. After that point in time, he was engineered new field development for oil companies. He did that even after he retired. He did it as a consultant and went back after he retired to work again, doing the same thing.
Were Nan and Poppy, do you think they were kind of like different in the relationship and just how they were from when you were a kid to now?
You know, I don't think so. My mom, Nana, was a stay-at-home mom, which was, I guess, pretty typical back then. And my dad, even when we were living overseas, spent a lot of time, not a lot of time, but he was, at least it felt like it. It felt like he was often offshore, and maybe that was only once or twice a year, and it just stuck in my mind that he was there more often. But obviously mom was there every day when I was coming home from school and when I went to school, because she was a stay-at-home mom. But their relationship, I don't think it changed any, far as I can tell. Of course, when you're with somebody, you know, all the time,
it's hard to tell when
something's changed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you see your parents as an adult, you see them, you know, not as often, and everything seems to be the same from my perspective.
What would you say if you can notice any, or like some big key differences between, like, you know, going to school all the way in Norway between Chicago, because they seem so far apart?
Yeah. So when we lived overseas, we, your aunt and I, we were part of the international school system, which means the schools we went to were on the American, quote-unquote, American school system.
Oh.
So it was, you know, kindergarten, first through 12th grade. In England and in Norway, the school systems are a little bit different in what they would consider middle school and high school. So we went to the international school, had similar courses. I will say that compared to, you know, the public schools that I'm familiar with you and your brother, and just from other friends that have had kids go through schools, or other people have gone through schools here in the U.S., the class sizes were smaller overseas because of less people. You know, whether or not that actually resulted in us getting more attention from the teachers, I don't know, because there was, you know, the ratio of teachers to students was higher. The school class sizes were different. So, you know, as I've experienced with you and your brother, you know, you guys have to try out for stuff in order to make it. And there's a limited amount of kids, you know, you have to compete for it. There's a limited amount of kids that get in teams or participate in groups or events, and with these overseas schools, candidly, you typically would make the team because there wouldn't be
not
enough people. So you got that experience, which is pretty cool, so that was. I think that answered your question. I'm trying to think of.
What? Because you were just mentioning it, what, like, sports or activities did you try out in Norway?
Norway. So Norway was 6th, 7th, 8th grade, which was back then grade school, middle school. When I moved over there, I had been playing baseball here in the U.S., and they had the American Baseball League there. Basically, it was me competing with all my classmates. We had, you know, probably 3 or 4 teams max. And it was not just one grade. It was multiple grades because, you know, we needed enough kids to field the teams. So it was probably, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade or 7th, 8th, 9th grade or something like that to field the teams. I kind of forget. But so I did baseball. Actually, Poppy coached. I remember that in junior high. Other sports... So in Norway, I also, so baseball is a spring sport, not a fall sport. So in the fall, I did cross country running. And the reason why I did that is, one, because I kind of enjoyed running, but also I got to be on the team and go compete with other international schools around Europe. So a lot of the times you can find, I've talking to Auntie Kim, is we purposely join teams in order to travel.
Huh.
And so we got an opportunity as a team to travel. And so when we travel as a team, the other international families that had students in the schools we were competing with, or who would be hosting the event, would house us at their house. So we'd stay at these strangers' houses. They'd be international or American, or they'd be from Europe. Not necessarily from that country then, though, because they're sending their kids to the international school. So that would get us the opportunity to travel with the team to all over Europe. We went, I couldn't even tell you how many different countries we went to for the 3 years. Well, and then high school, too, when I was in London, we traveled internationally, too, for sports teams. So that's why we did that. So I did cross country, did in the fall, did baseball in the spring, and then did track in the spring as well. And again, track was, and I ran long distance in track, although I probably shouldn't have, but wasn't the fastest. But that got me on the team and allowed me to travel to compete as well.
When you're doing these travel sports, did you ever end up going somewhere where you didn't know the language?
Always, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I picked up a little bit of Norwegian living in Norway because, one, my parents were learning it. They were taking lessons. My dad was learning it to help him communicate better for work, and so they were taking Norwegian. The benefit was the Norwegians learned English in grade school.
Huh.
So English was a common language there, which actually I believe helped us learn it better, because the Norwegians we knew, and I had some Norwegian friends, would talk with the same English and Norwegian, and it would help us understand it quicker. So knew enough Norwegian at the time to be able to have a conversation at a store or with a friend, or, you know, to go get something done, but not necessarily practiced at home. Of course, we spoke English and spoke English in school. But then when we went to all the other countries around Europe, which was ranged from Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, France, Austria, Switzerland, Italy, where else did we go? England at the time. Did we go to Spain? Yeah, we went to Spain. Yeah, didn't know the languages there.
Yeah. Do you still know a bit of Norwegian, or is that just all gone?
No, it's gone. I think I can say I ikke snakker norsk, which is I don't speak Norwegian, and I think there's probably a couple other of course is yes, but mm-hmm. There's probably a couple other things I know, but it's very minimal.
Okay.
And actually, friends of mine who had moved, we knew a family in Norway, and they had two kids. One of them was 1 year older than my sister, and one was 1 year younger than me. And they moved to London as well around the same time we did. And they used to get the local paper from Norway mailed to them. And so they knew Norwegian, so that helped them keep up the Norwegian, because they had to read it. So read Norwegian they kept up, and then tried to practice speaking it at home.
And kind of a silly question, but in this international school, just out of curiosity, did you use the metric system, or?
Yeah, so in junior high, we were taught that everything was going metric. The U.S. and the whole world was going metric. So we learned both.
Yeah, we wish it were like that.
And it never went. And we were taught that for many years, actually. I shouldn't say many, probably 3 or 4 years we were taught it was going to go metric. And by the time we got back to college, everything would be metric. And, of course, it never was.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know if you'd know this because you were a kid, but because you had to do all this traveling for sports, well, first off, did you always drive or did you have to fly?
Yeah, no, we flew everywhere. And then when we'd get to the local airports, we'd bus it typically.
Okay.
To the to the school, and at the school, the families that were hosting us would come pick us up.
And if you even knew at the time, do you think traveling was more expensive in comparison to the wages your parents earned back then, or do you think it's relatively equal to now?
I think now there's more discounted options available because there's a broader the broader population that travels by air. I don't think necessarily, of course, there's always inflation and everything's relative.
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily traveling by plane back then on non-discounted airlines was any cheaper or any more expensive than it is today, but there weren't the discounted options available today to fly. I mean, like in Europe, you could fly on Ryanair. You can go from London to Scotland for $20
yeah.
on a one-way flight. But that those types of options didn't exist. Yeah.
I'm assuming you guys didn't have any pets because you moved around so much.
Well, we did have a dog that he grew up with us in Oklahoma, and then we moved to Chicago. And then when we moved to Norway, the dog's name is Dixie, Miniature Schnauzer. And we took the dog with us to Norway, and I know my parents look back and regret doing that. And the reason why is because at that point in time, in order to bring pets in from other countries into Norway, you had to put your animal, your pet, into quarantine. And so Dixie was in a kennel, quarantined for 3 months in England. And so we shipped her ahead of time. She went into this kennel for 3 months and then was delivered, you know, to us. Parents went and picked her up on a plane in Norway 3 months later. And, you know, she's never quite the same. Probably a bit traumatized in the kennel. You know, wasn't a home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like living in a cage for 3 months. And, yeah, so I know that after that, Dixie lived a couple more years in Norway, but after that, my parents were like, there's no way they'd ever put an animal, a pet, through that ever again.
Yeah.
I don't know if the rules are the same anymore, honestly. It was specific by country.
Oh.
So Norway had that specific rule that necessarily didn't apply to other countries. They may have had same quarantines, but different levels or lengths of quarantine.
Wait, so, but when you went to Norway, she was quarantined in England?
In England, yeah, because Norway didn't have, couldn't house pets for quarantine, so they had a relationship with places in England to quarantine the pets before they were shipped over to Norway.
Mm.
And when we moved to Norway, Norway was pretty much a fishing, its economy was built upon by fishing. So it wasn't a very rich country at the time. This is back in the 70s when the oil business was really just picking up. And, I mean, now it's one of the richest nations in the world, all because of, really because of a lot of the companies that went in and invested in oil. So.
Do you know why it was 3 months?
No, I don't know why they specified it. Again, I remember there was other countries that had 5 months. And I remember the discussion of if it was longer than 3 months, we would try to, you know, sell her or give her to another family to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough to do that when your pet, she was probably 7 years old at that time, and 6, 7 years old, you know, it's your pet.
Yeah.
It's tough to let go. Speaking of.
What places did you go to college or university?
So I went to so I started off, it's all major dependent too. So I started off, you know, kind of want to follow my dad's footsteps in petroleum engineering. So I looked for a good petroleum engineering school, but wanted to do geology or geophysics. So I entered into a geophysics or geophysical engineering program in University of Tulsa. So back to Tulsa. It was a good petroleum engineering school, still is. And did that for 2 years. And then at that point in time, the economy was pretty bad, and a lot of the students graduating at the top of their class from Tulsa and Colorado School of Mines, which was the top two petroleum engineering schools, they weren't getting jobs. Nobody was hiring them. And they're all going back to get their MBAs. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to go for extended education at that point in time. And so talked to others, and they said, hey, if you're going to stay in engineering, switch to mechanical or electrical. It's more generic, can apply for more careers. So I switched to electrical engineering. And at that point in time, the electrical engineering program at Tulsa was okay. But I had always wanted to get to Northwestern, which is where my dad went to school and where my sister was going to school. And so I applied for, transfer to Northwestern's engineering program, and I transferred junior year to Northwestern. Then that's where I graduated with my bachelor's in engineering.
If the economy wasn't so harsh on that field of study, and because I remember you talking about how you loved geology and that kind of stuff before, if the economy wasn't as harsh and you could go back, would you to pursue that path instead?
Not now. And, I don't regret the decisions I made. If it hadn't been as hard, I probably would have stayed in geophysics, and who knows where my career would have ended and what I'd be doing. Looking back, no, I don't, the change I made was purposeful and for a reason, and I'm glad I made it. So.
All right. After you finished and went to college, what was your first job?
First part-time job or permanent job?
Part-time.
I started work late from part-time perspective, because we lived overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually remember I did apply for jobs when I was in London, but because I didn't have a local visa, I couldn't work as a teenager. There was something there with it. And so I actually didn't get a job until after I graduated high school. My first summer job was working for Lake County in Illinois, Lake County Highway Department. And actually my grandfather spent his whole career working for Lake County Highway Department. In fact, a lot of the roads in Lake County, if you look at the original plans, if they still filed the way up in Libertyville, they have his name on them because he's the one who drew up, engineered the road plans for construction. My dad, when he was in college, worked summer jobs for the highway department as well. Obviously had the connection with his dad. And reason why I got the job is because my dad's cousin was the manager responsible for the summer crews. And so I reached out to him and got me a job as well. So I did that for actually every summer except for the summer between junior and senior year. And I took some summer classes and did some landscaping. But so that was my first part-time job. And what it was there's two different crews. There was the maintenance crew and the engineering crew, and I belonged to the engineering crew. And what we did was we would go out and survey roads for reconstruction. So we would work with they call it a field light, and we would basically write up plans, take measurements to write up plans to draft the documents that the construction crews would use to reconstruct the road. The maintenance crews also had summer help, but they were mainly for, as an example, if we saw a dead animal on the road, we would call the maintenance crews and tell them to come get it. So we used to make fun of them for that. But anyway, so that was the job I had.
And your first full-time job?
First full-time job is actually, same company I'm with now. So when I graduated college, the electrical engineering degree, I interviewed on campus. Northwestern had a placement center, as all universities do. And they have a bunch of companies come in, and you interview for 30 minutes or an hour. And if they want you to take it to the next step, then they either have you. Nowadays, a lot of it's over Skype interviews, but they flew me down to Dallas. So I had a couple job offers. So I got an interview down to Dallas and interviewed down there, and then I had the same thing with GE from an interview perspective, and got offers from both companies, and took the job with Texas Instruments in semiconductor sales, and I've been doing that now for almost 30 years.
Would you say for you and Aunt Kim that all the travel overseas kind of gave you some extra points for jobs and all that such?
You know, I think I actually blame that's the only way I got into Northwestern. My GPA necessarily wasn't the best. I think it was my experience, maybe a little bit to do with the family going there, although it doesn't seem to make a difference anymore. Mm. I think experience helped build up my resume, and it made schools and companies make me look more attractive because of the background, and whether or not that actually is true or not, you know, is regardless. But the travel and living in other places, so experiencing different cultures and living in different cultures, although mainly westernized, right, in Norway and England, I believe helped. Yeah.
Did you, this might seem kind of dumb, but like, did you ever even accidentally start to pick up like a bit of an accent in these different places?
Oh, I spoke with an English accent regularly, yes. Yeah.
And if you don't mind me asking, do you mind if I ask about when you met Mom?
Sure.
Where did you guys originally meet?
So, your mom, she was living in Deerfield when I met her, but earlier in her life, she grew up in Lake Bluff. Lake Bluff and Lake Forest residences went to the Lake Forest School District. Hmm. So, anyways, remember I mentioned that one year I went to Lake Forest High School, senior year.
Yeah.
So during that year, made a good friend. His name's Tom Robertson. Tom and I stayed in touch, obviously, through college because my parents lived in Lake Forest for 2 years while I was in college, and then they moved overseas again. But during the summer when I was working for the highway department, I'd come back, live at their house, and hang out with Tom. Tom was going to Northern Illinois University, and he had grown up in Lake Bluff. So at Northern Illinois, he ran into your mom, who he knew from grade school, from Lake Bluff. Then one holiday break, Christmas break, somebody had a party. I forget who it was, but a bunch of us got back together over the holidays when we came back during the Christmas break. And he invited her and her friend Wendy to that party, and that's when I met your mom.
When did you guys like start to think actually develop like a relationship, like after you met?
Well, we dated that Christmas. Of course, it was Christmas break, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we met on New Year's Eve, so everyone was going back to school pretty soon after that. But I think we went out on a date after we met at that party, and then kept in touch, which of course back then was not over the internet.
Yeah.
It was by writing letters, and so got her address at school. She had my address at school because I was going to school in Oklahoma, and we wrote each other letters and kept in touch during the spring. And then when I moved back to Chicago over the summer, your mom came back from university, was working, living at Deerfield with her mom's and working. I was living with my parents in Lake Forest, and then we started dating that summer.
And that was your freshman
When was that? That may have been between freshman and sophomore year.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It may have been. Either that or sophomore, junior, but I think it was freshman, sophomore.
Did you guys kind of like just keep the same sort of relationship, like not develop it any further because you couldn't because of college?
Well, we dated over the summer. We got closer as we dated more over the summer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we both knew we were going back to school eventually.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we got to know each other more and got closer during that summer and then went back to school. Of course, then a year and a half later, I moved back to Chicago area, going to Northwestern, and she was going to Northern. So I got to see her more often because it was a 2-hour drive or something like that to DeKalb, as opposed to a 12-hour drive from Oklahoma. Yeah, so that helped us, get to know each other better as well.
Yeah. And when you guys first got married, was it after that you moved to? 'Cause you moved to California,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So with TI, the training program was, we had several different assignments. And my first assignment was in Houston. So I lived there after college for about 9 months. And then my second assignment was actually back here in Chicago doing design work in an office in Arlington Heights. And during that time period, she and I were dating again. I did that for about a year and a quarter, something like that. And then I moved to California to a full-time job, so out of the training program. And at that point in time, we had made plans for her to eventually get out to California. I moved out there. I'm trying to think if we got engaged before she moved out there, or she moved out there and then we got engaged. I don't know. But regardless, she moved out there after I had been there for 9 months, I think. Then we eventually got engaged, or we were engaged when she moved out there, I forget. And they got married about a year or two later. But that was tough on her because she didn't have a job. She was established job here and actually in Deerfield in her major. And then she moved out to California and had no basis, so.
And when you had Jack in California, did you decide to move back to Illinois purely just for the education system, or?
When I was out in California, I had always entertained the idea of getting back to Chicago. So I always kept in touch with the people in the office here. I had always kept in touch when job opportunities opened up here. But I didn't interview for any jobs that opened up here because I had plenty of experiences and opportunities in California. What actually happened was we had owned a townhouse out there in San Jose, and we had just decided to dig our roots deeper. So we bought a house. We bought a house in Sunnyvale, California, and turned around and allowed the current owners, people who sold it to us, to rent it out for 3 months. So they're renting it back. So we didn't move into it. During that 3-month time period, a job opportunity opened up for me in Chicago. I got offered the job, and I didn't even interview it, but I knew the hiring manager, and he knew me. He's like, "Mark, I want you for this job. Are you interested?" Because I knew you wanted to get back to Chicago years ago. And I told him straight out on the phone, "No, thank you. Appreciate you calling. We just bought a house. I'm going to stay here." Yeah. So we got home that night, and we were talking about it, and I remember your mom asked, "If this is this the job that you would want if you were to move back to Chicago?" I'm like, "Yeah, it would be." And so we talked about it more, and we're like, well, Jack was a year and a half at that point in time. And I always was a big fan personally of the public school system in certain areas in the Midwest. And so it's like, well, let's get back to Chicago for him. Or for kids in general. So called back the hiring manager the next morning and said, "Hey, sorry for being fickle, but I'm interested in the job." So then we ended up putting that house we never lived in back on the market and sold it, a couple of days later.
And just as an estimate, if we count when you were in Europe, one country is one, and back in the U.S., one state is one, how many places do you think you've lived in throughout your life?
So not places within a...
No, but just if you were in Norway, you're in Norway. If you were in Illinois,
yeah,
you're in Illinois.
Yeah. So, I mean, lived in Tulsa, lived in Palatine, lived in Norway, Stavanger, lived in London, England, lived in Lake Forest, then went to Tulsa again. So I'm double counting these.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, and then went to Evanston, and then went to Houston, and then lived in Buffalo Grove, and then moved to California and lived in five different places in California, then moved back here to Deer Park and now Barrington.
So, including all the different places, all the different like cities in Illinois and California around 1820-ish?
That probably, yeah. There was 13 moves there that we just counted, but, you know, in some of those places there was multiple moves. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yes, you're welcome. Yeah.